Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 17th of February, the 48th day of 2025, leaving us 317 days in our journey to 2026. Many of us in this second half of a Maine winter are mercifully maintaining warmth and sustenance amid conditions predominantly hostile to our survival. In fact, on the schedule of the old-timers' 100 hostile days per year, we have weathered a considerable number in February alone. Some of us embark upon this next-to-last week of February carrying the spirit of romance from this past Friday, when that singular day for officially celebrating matters of the heart, St. Valentine's Day, gives us all license to wander the world of love's mystery. Oh, love, writes E.E. Cummings, upon thy dim shrine of intangible commemoration, I spill my bright, incalculable soul. But we are rushing things a bit, for we are not yet in the musical white spring with which Cummings begins his poem. Rather, at least a couple of fortnights span the official distance from now until we arrive at what promises this year to be a good old-fashioned mud season, when the successively graced white of our continually white 2025 Maine landscape meets the burgeoning heat of the forthcoming season, and snowstorms increasingly end with ice pellets and freezing drizzle. Meanwhile, we still have Black History Month and poetry from folks like Langston Hughes. Outside our dining room window, we have a beauty bush whose branches afford winter birds such as black-capped chickadees, stellar jays, and nuthatches leftover seeds to forage and rummage through, while our two coon cats look on, frozen at the windows, with only their tails quietly twitching to remind themselves what they would otherwise be doing were they on the outside of the window, effecting the same contemplation that occupies them now. And the liminal nature of it all reminds me of Hughes's poem, Dreams. Hold fast to dreams, for if dreams die, life is a broken-winged bird that cannot fly. Hold fast to dreams, for when dreams go, life is a barren field frozen with snow. Heavenward this morning in the southwest sky, our waning gibbous moon appears close to the bright star Spica, brightest of the constellation Virgo the Maiden. Tomorrow our moon reaches apogee, its farthest distance, 251,582 miles from Earth. Later in the week, our moon is in last quarter and keeping company with the bright orange star Antares of the constellation Scorpius the Scorpion. Today in 1621, Miles Standish, military captain of the Mayflower, was elected the first commander of the Plymouth Colony. Today in 1776, the first volume of Edward Gibbon's The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire was published. Today in 1801, when the U.S. House of Representatives broke the Electoral College tie between Aaron Burr and Thomas Jefferson, the latter was elected U.S. President. Today in 1876 in Eastport, Maine, Julius Wolfe canned sardines for the first time. Today in 1897, the National Congress of Parents and Teachers, a.k.a. the Parent Teacher Association, or PTA, was founded in Washington, D.C. and initially called the National Congress of Mothers. Today in 1904, Italian composer Giacomo Puccini's Madama Butterfly premiered at La Scala in Milano, becoming one of the most frequently performed operas. Today in 1913, the Armory Show opened in New York City, introducing the American public to artworks by Impressionists, Symbolists, Post-Impressionists, Cubists, and others, including Pablo Picasso, Henri Matisse, and Marcel Duchamp. Today in 1936, the first cartoon strip superhero, Lee Falk's The Phantom, made its debut. Today in 1968, at the Grenoble Winter Olympics, Frenchman Jean-Claude Killy won the slalom, adding to his previous wins in downhill and giant slalom. Today in 1908 in Columbus, Mississippi, Red Barber was born. At 10 years old, he moved with his family to Florida where, while still in school, Red worked as a truck driver, a celery picker, and a roofer, carrying hot tar up a ladder to the topside crew. Hoping to enter the University of Florida at 21, Red traveled to Gainesville and worked as a wood splitter, a waiter, a tennis court attendant, and a janitor, when one day while cleaning at WRUF, he was hastily given the task of reading a lecture that an agricultural professor had become unable to deliver in person. Suddenly, without preparation in front of a live microphone, Red was presenting certain aspects of bovine obstetrics and did so well that he was hired for regular on-air work and eventually became director of the radio station. In 1934, the Cincinnati Reds hired Red Barber to broadcast their games, though he had not yet seen a major league game. But his chatty style, replete with southernisms such as describing a fight as a rhubarb and good fortune as walking in tall cotton, immediately endeared him to the audiences, and his growing popularity proved that broadcasting could increase the number of fans and therefore attendance. Women especially liked listening to Red, so that on a summer game day, anyone could walk from one end of Brooklyn to the other and hear Red describe the complete game from radios in the open-windowed homes along the way. Today is also the birthday in 1781 of French physician and inventor of the stethoscope, René Laennec. In 1844, of American retailer and mail-order business founder, Aaron Montgomery Ward. In 1854, of German steel and arms manufacturer, Friedrich Alfred Krupp. In 1864, of Australian lyricist of Waltzing Matilda, Banjo Patterson. In 1867, of British chocolatier, William Cadbury. In 1877, of Swiss explorer, writer, and advocate for decolonization in North Africa, Isabella Eberhardt. In 1879, of American novelist and social reformer Dorothy Canfield Fisher. In 1895, of American actresses Anita Stewart and Edna Park Edwards. In 1905, of American singer and cellist Hoppy Jones. In 1907, of Ukrainian-American trumpeter and bandleader Charlie Spivak. In 1919, of American actress Kathleen Freeman. In 1923, of Italian-American jazz clarinetist and bandleader Buddy DeFranco. In 1925, of American actor Hal Holbrook. In 1930, of English writer Ruth Rendell. In 1935, of American actress Christina Pickles. And of American country singer Johnny Bush. In 1936, of American NFL MVP Jim Brown. In 1937, of American doo-wop singer Mickey McGill. In 1938, of American country and bluegrass banjoist Buck Trent. In 1939, of American actress Marianne Mobley. 1940, of American singer-songwriter Gene Pitney. In 1942, of African-American co-founder of the Black Panthers, Huey Newton. In 1945, of Irish actress Brenda Fricker and American actress Patricia Morrow. In 1950, of American rocker Ricky Medlock. In 1954, of American actress Renee Russo. In 1957, of Canadian musician Lorena McKennett. In 1962, of Filipino-American actor Lou Diamond Phillips. And of the first woman to climb Mount Everest solo without bottled oxygen, Brit Allison Hargreaves. And in 1963, of American NBA MVP Michael Jordan. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in edgewise. Here's to the ninth week of winter, only four to go, and to the eighth week of 2025.